Okay, today is July 19th, 2022, 7 p.m. Today is the regularly scheduled monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Estewan.
Here.
Mr. Jalowick.
He's excused.
Mr. Kupchansky.
Dave, you got on mute.
I'm here, Karen.
I saw you.
We could see him.
Here.
Raul. Yep. Here. Mr. Biskowitz.
Here.
Mr. Sadlick. Mr. DiGiovanni.
Here.
Mr. Frattarola.
Here.
And Mr. Blisman.
Okay, we'll move. Thank you. We'll move on to item number four, additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. The City of Derby 2022 Road Improvement Program, we can strike that from the meeting tonight. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. That's all I have. Number five, communications. For the record, I have not been at City Hall, so I don't know if there's any communications. I have not received any, so there's no communications. Item number six, public portion. Would anybody from the public like to address the commission at this time?
Yes, Patrick Manoffi, 71 and a half Park Avenue in Derby.
Yes, Pat.
I spoke to you last month about 75 Park Avenue. Today I went to City Hall and got the copies of the file of enforcement. And there was a couple things sent out on August 10th and September 5th. But the main problem was is they sent it to the wrong owner. They sent it to the previous owner. From the record card, they sent it all to the prior owner, and I gotta stress to you that it's a junkyard down there for over. It's been for 7 years, but it's just worse and worse. There's two big giant storage containers. There's five junk cars with trailers. There's plumbing supplies that are all used. There's all sorts of nonsense down there, and it just doesn't go with the residential zone at all, that building at all. And it's, I've been going through this since 2017 with both owners, but obviously the new owner isn't even notified of it. So there has to be some kind of resolution somewhere. Thank you.
Pat, I'm asking you, we have a zoning enforcement official in place. Have you taken it up with him now? Because I'd like to help you out if you can before the Planning and Zoning Commission, but it really should, we would just refer to the zoning official, which is Kevin White.
The guy is there one day a week. So
the question is, have you met with him? Have you stressed your concern?
The question is, I've been writing for over a year about all this. All the stuff was sitting in the file, so obviously no one looked at it. So I don't know.
We had this little thing called COVID come in, and I told you at the beginning of the meeting I haven't been to City Hall, and I was just wondering, right. We have an avenue to address your concerns. The simple question was, have you addressed it and taken this up with
Kevin?
Have you taken this up with Kevin White yet?
I've sent him
our zoning
email.
Official. Okay, thank you.
No response on the email.
Then we could put it on our agenda and we can follow up next month. But as if you have addressed it with him and we have, and you're telling me that you've addressed it with him, I will follow up with him.
I've addressed it with everybody, the blight officers, everybody. And it's for some reason, no one's listening. And I told you I was coming to this meeting, next meeting, whatever. I'm coming to every meeting until it's resolved.
And you're more than welcome to. Thank you, Pat.
I would just hope that someone would try to resolve it. That's all.
And I'm saying we have an avenue in place. The Planning and Zoning Commission does. With the zoning enforcement officer, I've asked if you addressed it with him. That's all I asked. You said you have sent him an email. I will follow up with him and I will report back next month. That's all I can do.
And I came back and I came last month and still nothing's done. So.
And the same questions are asked. If you're taking it up with the zoning enforcement officer, you said you had. You sent him an email. I will follow up with him and I will report back next month or ask him to report back to us what he has done through the course of the month. That's in place and that's the least I can do.
Sure. Thanks.
So we'll see you next month. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public? Public portion's closed. Approval of the minutes of the 6/21/22 regular meeting. I sent everybody the minutes. Is there a motion to accept?
Motion to accept.
I make a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay, receipt of applications. We did get one today. Dominic, you want to talk about it quickly?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that application should be deemed as received today. The reason why is that for an application to be received, it has to, per statute, be received at the next regularly scheduled meeting in the day following submission. So the application was submitted today. So by statute, it can't be received this meeting. It can be received at the next month's meeting. If you'd like, it can be added to the agenda for discussion and possible action.
We can receive and hear it. This is, Dominic.
Which is all I, Ryan is correct. I wasn't trying to start the clock today. My concern is to try to be able to make a presentation, filing it now so that potentially it can be set. Once it's filed, it can be sent to staff for review. And we would be able to, you can receive it at the next meeting and we can make a presentation that night.
No problem. We'll move on to item number 9A, new business.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just for the record, Mr. Blisman has entered the meeting at 7:06 p.m.
Thank you, Mark, the keeper of the records. Move on to item number 9A, Leanna Espinosa Ortega and Karen Espinosa, 213 Caroline Street, site plan application to renovate existing three-bedroom apartments and add two additional two-bedroom apartments, discussion and possible action. Is there somebody from the applicant here this evening?
Yes, Attorney Dominic Thomas.
Yes, Dominic.
Owen and Thomas, 315 Main Street, Derby, Connecticut, representing the applicant. This is, Mark, can I share a screen?
Yes.
Okay. This is, I'm sharing my screen, hopefully. You can see it. This is a Google Earth. Can everybody see it?
Yes.
It's a Google Earth street view of the property. This is the stone building on Caroline Street. For those of you that are familiar, I'm sure you all are with Caroline Street. I think this is another step towards improvement of the street. The adjacent building, I believe, is one of the buildings that Home Inc. renovated. Along Caroline Street. This building was owned by the Derby Historical Society. They had some apartments. They used it for storage and they used it for office space. My client, Leon Espinosa, and his wife have purchased the property and their intent is to obviously maintain the wonderful outside of the property, but to renovate the inside, bring it up to code. And I think stop sharing and go to the site plan. And this is the site plan of the property. And as you can see, there is location of the let me just get this icon going. There's the location of the building. There's a driveway that leads to the rear of the building. There's sufficient off-street parking pursuant to the computation in the statement of use for 5 two-bedroom apartments. We do have 9 spaces in the rear. We believe we've complied. It is compliant under the density in the CDD zone. And I think it's a relatively simple application, and it will improve, obviously lend to improve the area along Caroline Street. Now, there, Ryan issued a report, and Ryan McAvoy's report, he raised a couple of issues, one of which the property right now is all process, and the client intends on having it remain as process in Ryan's report, and he can discuss it further, but he suggested a couple of things. One item was because of the sharp drop off that's located here, the top of the slope leading down to Water Street, and there is a fence there. My client is prepared to put additional, whether it's boulders or a small stone wall or whatever, that could be able to along this area here. Along this area here, because the fence would have to be moved back, and along this area here to prevent any accidental situation of cars going over. So he's prepared to put in the boulders or put a small stone wall. Apparently he's also a mason by trade, so that wouldn't be a problem. There was some, in Brian's suggestion, of a stone filter along the edge. Our position is I don't, with respect to the runoff, I don't see it as being necessary. I'm not sure what we did. I think certainly if we were talking about simply trenching the property and putting some stone in there, if that's what we're talking about, my client in this situation, site plan has been done by the surveyor, Tracy Lewis, A2 standards, but I didn't want to get into a situation where he needed to hire an engineer just to do a stone filter. But certainly if something was needed along here or felt needed to be along here, that was like a, whatever you want to call it, a stone drain or something, he would be able to do that. But he's okay with doing the stone wall. I have checked with, pursuant to Ryan's thing, I've checked with the building official with respect to the apartments, because of the number of apartments, only require B-type units, which just are to make certain walls sufficient enough to hold handicapped items like bars and restraints. There's no requirement in this unit for A-type units, so therefore there's no requirement for a ramp. We're not sure about the requirement for there to be a handicapped parking space, given the situation that you're not required to have type A rooms in it. If I think Ryan's thing indicates that if it is required when it gets to the building official, certainly this space here, the number 9 space, could be the handicap space. And Ryan indicated that it has to be paved. So certainly we would be able to pave that one space for the handicap space if it's required. I haven't been able to confirm whether or not a handicap space is required. With that, I think it addresses some of Ryan's concerns. And again, I think it's a, you know, to have an older building that now is going to be brought up to code and modernized. Obviously, it's got to, at five units, it's got to comply with all the fire code issues and everything. So, and he has to go through the fire marshal and everything as is required. And the building official, so I think you're taking an older building and bringing up to code, which is a benefit to the downtown area, and adding two more apartments to give it 5 apartments in an area where it is clearly walkable. First of all, it's gonna be just down the street from the, I think it's 90 some odd apartments at the end of Minerva and Caroline. And it is an area where it is walkable to public transportation and the train station, and hopefully the many businesses that will continue open in Derby once the apartments are there and the people are there.
Thank you, Ryan. Do you want to address Dominic's concerns at all?
Sorry, Ted, that was broken up. Can you say that again?
I just want to know if you want to address any of Dominic's concerns or any of his statements with regards to your letter.
Yeah, so with regards to the letter, obviously it's a gravel parking lot today. We're not, I'm not opposed from an engineering perspective. If it remains gravel, I just was pointing out the regulations where anytime anything more than a three-bedroom, three-family dwelling unit is proposed, then it's supposed to be paved unless the commission finds otherwise. One example would be the commission may waive the foregoing requirement for areas where existing drainage problems warrant the use of porous material. And that kind of goes to what I was suggesting with the stone filter strip at the edge of the parking lot. That's more along the lines of if this is required to be asphalt. I certainly don't object to it remaining gravel. I think adding boulders or other stone features at the edge of the parking spaces would be beneficial, particularly for those that extend slightly beyond the edge of the existing gravel parking today. It is a very steep drop off and it's very abrupt. So anything to prevent vehicles from taking the plunge, I think would be in everyone's best interest. Beyond that, it's pretty straightforward. And if you wish it to be asphalt, then that's something that I'm sure you could condition if you desire, and we could work with the owner on any mitigation for drainage if that's the direction you wish to go.
Okay. Thank you.
Ryan,
any comments from any commission members?
Yeah, it's Gino DiGiovanni. Can you hear me, Ted?
Yes.
Ryan, in that back parking lot there, there's not much before it drops off. Don't you think it would be, I think it would be better if we left it either stone or process. If we did pave it, you'd create a lot more runoff going, to the curtain drain. If we had a big storm or something, that would, maybe go over there. No, process or stone would be better in this situation, in my opinion.
I certainly think there's reason that your logic is pretty sound, that keeping it gravel does merit warrant consideration because of the grade on the east side of the property.
Yeah, and then one more question. There's a telephone pole that's in between the back lot and Water Street. Inside that print that Dominic just showed us, it shows that it's overhead line, but then it says that it's not being used. So in that back lot from the UI pole that's on the driveway coming in to the one that's down below grade, is there an overhead line there or no?
I'm not positive. They do show the overhead line on the survey, so I suspect that it's there. But I'm just relying on what the surveyor provided, that the pole is not in use. But certainly that's an existing parking area today. As far as I know, there's been no issues with the three-bedroom, three-family building that's there presently.
Yeah, no, it was just my question, because if you look on the print that Dominic's sharing with us right now, it says that, what's that pole number? 3250, not in use. So I didn't know if there was a line or not a line. It was just a question.
Usually when the surveyor shows overhead lines or OH, that means they're visually there.
Okay.
But it may not be an active line. I'm not sure how we came to the conclusion that's not in use.
Okay, fair enough. That's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Gino. Any other commission members have any questions?
I have a question for Ryan. David. Ryan, have you received any correspondence from the building official concerning the accessibility?
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
Okay.
I spoke to
Ryan the question.
And in the draft motion that I prepared, Dave, I do include a condition that space number 8 that Dominic spoke of be designated as an accessible space. Unless the building official finds that it's not necessary.
Right. Well, that's one question. The other question too is concerning these B units, that are going to be added into the building? This is currently a three-family dwelling. They're adding two more dwelling units to this, okay? And I would question on whether or not a handicap accessible entryway is not required, as was stated before, okay? Also, concerning the parking space, a handicap accessible parking space, if there's only one, has to be van accessible, which means it has to be 16 feet wide, 8 feet of which is crosshatched, 8 feet which is open. I'm not sure where you're going to be able to fit that size parking space on the site plan as presented.
I believe Dominique might be able to speak to this, but the there appears to be adequate space for 16-foot handicapped van accessible spaces, as you know.
What space?
Space number eight.
That would impinge on the open space between the back of the other parking spaces and that space. You only have 24 feet now.
Right. No. Between the property line and the building, Dave, there's more than 16 feet there.
Well, parking space number eight is the one that's against the building, correct?
Correct. Yes. Not, yeah. No, you're thinking about number nine, Dave.
No, nine is against the building in the back. Yeah. Number eight is against the side fence.
Side fence in the building.
If I remember correctly.
Okay. Well, you believe that you could put an additional...
Yeah, there's adequate space for an additional 6 feet, I'm sure.
Okay. Can I respond? Or?
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
So I did call the building official, as I said, and he indicated to me that B units are required. The A units trigger in over 20 units. The building official, Doblera. On the parking, his response to me was he believes one space was required. Now, his comment to me, the reason I said believe, and I wasn't sure that he was going to confirm it, and I can certainly confirm it, and I'm sure it would be a condition. But the comment that he made, if I interpreted him correctly, was the one space did not have to be van accessible. Okay, in that situation, for that number of units and everything. My client will have to comply with whatever is required under both the building code and the ADA requirements.
Yeah, I would like to see a detail on that. Certainly, if it's one handicap parking space, Dominic, it has to be van accessible. That's a Connecticut State building code for a long, long time.
That's something that I believe pretty firmly, Dave, that can be handled at the staff level.
Okay.
There's 16 foot there easily for a space. It can be paved. It can be striped properly. I don't see any particular zoning reason to delay a building permit related question. I think it's a valid question, but I'd say it's probably better in the hands of the building official.
It's definitely a valid question. I don't think it's a question for zoning. Just to wait for a building answer, I think it's delineated in this motion that it's up to the building official and it should be able to be handled at the staff level.
The reason why I'm asking,
it's not a zoning issue.
The reason why I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, because it would affect the site plan, which is a zoning issue.
It's stated in the motion that I have this evening that if it is required to be accessible, then it should, it's up to the building official. I believe that should be handled administratively. And it doesn't have to come back before this commission.
I think the fundamental answer, Dave, is that the space number eight between the building and the sideline would go from 10 feet to 16 feet and be paved. I mean, that's really the net effect.
And then we'll look into the issue of whether or not the entry into these B-level units would have to be accessible as well.
Right. And if they do have one additional space to give, so if for some reason a ramp needs to be installed, Dave, that would be required. They could eliminate space number 9, which is the parallel space behind the building, and still meet the zoning requirements for minimum parking for 5 two-bedroom units in the CDD zone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Any other comments from any commission members for either our city engineer or the applicant? Any comments?
No, we've completed the presentation.
Anything else, Ryan? Okay, what is the pleasure of the commission members? What do they feel about the parking? Because do they need a waiver of some sort, Ryan, or a no, right?
Nope.
Gravel versus pavement. I think we shouldn't create more impervious space. If it's pervious now and there's no problem now, we should just leave well enough alone. That's my
opinion. I agree.
Agreed. Yeah. Sounds like Ryan's got it covered with his draft motion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. With that being said, and there's no other comments, I do have a draft motion here. It's the application, Leanne Espinosa Ortega and Karen Espinosa, 213 Caroline Street, application for site plan approval conversion to a 5-unit multifamily building. The motion is following review of the plans supported documentation submitted in support of this application. The Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby finds, in accordance with Section 195-59D3, of the zoning regulations, that the parking lot can generally remain as gravel, and approves the site plan application for Leanne Espinosa Ortega and Karen Espinosa on property shown on Derby Assessor's Map 8-5, Lot 159, subject to the following condition. The review shall be based upon the documents submitted in support of and during the review of this application, with the following stipulated conditions: that each parking space along the eastern portion of the lot include a concrete wheel stop or boulder to delineate the spaces and to limit the potential for vehicles to approach the steep slopes to the east of the parking lot. Space number 8 shall be modified to be handicapped accessible unless the building official determines that no units are required to be accessible units. Any significant changes or modifications to the plans presented will require subsequent review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is the motion as stated. Is there a second?
I'll second. Gino.
Made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, one modification to that. It states accessible units. Please strike that to say B type units. Accessible unit has a specific meaning in the Connecticut State Building Code.
Motion has been made and modified. Is there a second?
I'll remove my second, adopt Dave's correction
and reset. Okay. Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good luck.
Dominic, not opposed, sorry.
I got to excuse myself, Ted.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Good night.
Payment of bills, motion to pay bills if deemed correct.
So moved.
Seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Take care, everybody. Have a good week, month.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month. Thank you very much.
The time is 7:28 p.m.
That's so quick.